Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Happy Friday morning to you, 908, almost 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin Live, the Andy Griffin Show. Melody Finlinson is here as well. Hi, Melody.
Good morning.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
Life is good. You're wearing power red. You got Tiger Woods power red on today.
Yes, and that is for a very important cause because it is National Wear Red Day for Women's Heart Health Focus. And I had a sister that passed away in 2021. She was only 51 from heart disease. So
wow,
it's important.
Only 51. Mm-hmm. Wow. I saw there was a post on word of mouth or something that said their father-in-law had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia at 59 years old.
What?
I was like, yeah, what? Kind of like your sister. That's the kind of disease you might, yeah, something like that. It might happen to a 75-year-old mm-hmm. or an 85-year-old, but not a 51-year-old
yeah,
woman.
We didn't even know. Like, she just literally was getting ready for work, laid down on her bed, and then she was gone, just like that.
So it was myocarditis? Is that
yeah.
What is that? Is that a skipping heart, an irregular heartbeat?
I think it's when the heart, like, I don't know exactly. I have a sister who's a nurse, so I always just refer to her.
Okay.
It's when the heart kind of gets bigger and is too big and kind of just
enlarged a little
yeah.
bit. Okay.
But we didn't even know that she had that. So it was total shock.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
one day.
51. Did she have children?
She had 3 children and like 4 or 5 grandchildren. And
so the kids were grown up at least?
Yeah, the kids were all grown.
I mean, I guess there's that small consolation, yeah. but holy cow.
And they're all married and they have really great husbands. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just sad.
Very sad. Very sad. So yeah, it is Heart Disease Awareness Month.
What's
going to get me, right? You think about that when I go, what is it going to be? Is it going to be cancer? Is it going to be heart disease? Is it going to be some sort of accident? I feel really blessed in that we have zero heart disease in my family.
Nice.
Even when my grandfather passed away, he was 94, I think. My one grandfather died in a traffic accident. The other one was 94, and it had nothing to do with his heart. It had to do with some kind of digestive problem. But
so, do you ever think about that, like how you're going to die?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really, that's yeah. very. I've never thought about that. Now I think I will.
I don't want to be like.
I think it'll
morbid.
I think it'll be a car accident, and I'll be going like Thelma and Louise, just.
Well, we talked about this once. If you remember, if you knew how and when you were going to die, would you want, if you could know, would you want to know that? And you said no, right? Or did you say,
I don't know what I said then, but today I would say yes.
Oh.
Today I would say yes. Because I want to spend it all before I go because I have teenagers that I don't like.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I talked with my wife about this too, and she's like, no, I don't think I would want to know. And I was like, I kind of think I would because mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, but it would taint how you live. And I'm like, yeah, but if you know you have 47 days to live, aren't you going to make the most out of the 47 days you have left? And she said, well, shouldn't you be trying to make the most out of them anyway?
Oh, she's so
like,
right.
It's a good point. She's very smart.
She's very smart, but very I'm smart. A procrastinator, so I'd rather know what I have left, and then I'll do the best job I can.
Staying up late the night before, getting everything in. Like, I'm not sleeping for a week because right. I know it's and then you die from lack of sleep.
Right. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
It is Super Bowl weekend, by the way.
Oh, it is. I forgot.
Chiefs and Eagles. I don't know too many people that are excited for that matchup again, but it is what it is, right?
And,
I have some Super Bowl facts for you. I'm going to quiz you on a couple of these things.
Oh, no.
Give me your ballpark estimate on how many buffalo wings will be eaten on Super Bowl Sunday.
In the U.S.?
In the entire country.
Wow. A million? I have no idea. I don't even know.
So think about it this way. I think there's 380 million people in the country, and roughly 150 of them will be watching the Super Bowl.
Okay, so 200.
But just because you're not watching the Super Bowl doesn't mean you're not partying. So
true. Gosh, over 300 million, because you can never eat one chicken wing.
Okay, makes sense. Are you going to eat chicken wings on Sunday?
I'm going to try and avoid the Super Bowl party at my mother-in-law's house because
really?
There will be like 70 people there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm exaggerating, but most of them are children.
It'll be a lot. Oh.
And it's a lot of clean up after. So if you don't go, then you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to clean up.
So I, my friend and frequent contributor to 890kdxu.com is Mindy, and she wrote a story about a Super Bowl party and how to have a successful one. And one of them, one of her tips was find something for the kids to do, because nobody wants to sit there and eat buffalo wings or queso or whatever and have kids running everywhere and you can't see the game and you can't hear each other. And so they said, she said, set up a room where the with fun stuff, the Legos and, you know, video games, whatever, for the kids to do, so they're not all over the place. I think that's a brilliant idea.
I asked my husband, so I am technically being a nice wife. I said, would you like to have some friends just over to our house to watch the game? He's like, no, I think I'd rather go over and watch it with my brother.
And he wants the party. Yeah.
I'm like, I hope you have the greatest time. Yeah. I do.
Okay, back to the buffalo wings, the chicken wings. This number is going to blow you away. On Super Bowl Sunday, practically... Well, just under 1.5 billion buffalo wings will be eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. It is the number one most chosen snack for people watching the Super Bowl. Here's a little more. Listen to this.
That's according to this year's forecast from the National Chicken Council. It's a big time of year for wings, with sales up 12% during the NFL playoffs. If wings aren't really your thing, Sunday also happens to be National Pizza Day. Plenty of deals to be had. I'm Michael Kastner.
So, thank you, Michael. So, I don't not like wings. I think they're pretty good. But if there's pizza and queso and pizza rolls and ribs, wings are probably going to be my last choice amongst all that stuff.
No, wings are my first choice. And my husband actually makes really good wings at home. Like, they taste just as good as, like, Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, he double fries them in the air fryer, and he sauces them up, and he cuts, like, the little celery, and carrots are delicious.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a wing guy, but...
so good.
And in fact, we're not really having a party, per se, but just a I guess that is a party. We'll probably have maybe 10 people over, and I'm pretty sure nobody's bringing wings. It's going to be pizza and queso and ribs and stuff. And
I think it has to have wings
seriously,
for a party for that.
Seriously, Mello, if there are ribs that I smoked... And some chicken wings there. Which are you going to have?
I would have one of each.
Yeah, but that's a good answer, but that's the wrong answer because my fragile male ego is on the line.
I would definitely just consume all of the smoked meat.
Yeah, okay. The other thing about the Super Bowl, well, not the other, one other thing about the Super Bowl is, do you know that the day after the Super Bowl is one of the most called in sick days in the U.S. Listen to this. This is Monica Nelson.
A new survey from Paycom collected data from over 6 million employees who requested sick days after the Super Bowl. It found that in 2024, there were 63% more sick day requests on the day after the game than on the average day last year. It also found over 90% of managers at U.S. companies approved those sick days for employees after the game. I'm Monica Nelson.
We've gotten good at faking the hello, I can't come in today, I don't feel sick. Man. Yeah, we're good at fudging that. I don't know. The only other time I can think of when it's common to call in sick would be right after a holiday or right after a vacation.
Right.
You know, if you fly in on Sunday and you're supposed to work Monday morning and you're jet lagged and you're exhausted and you're, you know, you got the whole vacation, can't get your feet under you. Mm-hmm. That should be the day. You should almost request that one extra day off just to make it through. So
exactly.
Anyway, Super Bowl is on Sunday. They used to say kickoff at 4:30, and I've noticed when you turn a TV on at 4:30, most people are watching anyway. They're watching pregame and all that stuff. But when you turn the game on at 4:30, it actually starts closer to 5 than 4:30.
Right. So. And I did hear the president is going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First sitting president ever to go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a good time.
That's pretty cool. Everybody's asking me my pick on the game, and I will eat crow on Monday if I'm wrong, but I really believe the Eagles are going to unseat the Chiefs and win by about 20 points.
So, you know, there's like a conspiracy theory about the Super Bowl that is kind of like the WWE.
Yeah.
So according to that, I believe it said that the Chiefs were going to win and like by 4 points. So let's see if that happens, and then we can have our conspiracy talks after.
Okay, very good. By the way, today is also the anniversary of Michael Jordan signing with the Chicago White Sox to play baseball for 2 years. Mm. Now, you know me, I'm not really a conspiracy guy, but this is one that I don't know if I started it, but I've been on board with this from the day one. Remember, Michael Jordan and the Bulls won 3 championships in the 90s. Michael took 2 years off. They didn't win those 2 years. The Rockets did. And then they won 3 more when Michael came back. I believe to this day, and everybody's like, you're crazy, I believe that Michael sat down with the commissioner of the league, and David Stern, and they agreed to, on the sly, have Michael serve a 2-year gambling suspension because everybody knows he had a gambling problem.
What?
And I believe he was, this is a conspiracy theory.
Well,
so this is not in any newspaper, but I believe that because he was basketball at that point. He had, in the 90s, Michael Jordan was the NBA. Yeah, there were other great players, but really it was Michael Jordan's league. And so when the commissioner said, look, it's going to come out eventually that you have a gambling problem and that you gambled on the NBA like Pete Rose did with baseball. He said, so let's nip this in the bud. You step away from the game for two seasons. It's a suspension, but only you and I are going to know about it. We won't tell the press. And I believe that's when he signed with baseball and tried baseball for a while, which he was lousy at, by the way. and then he came back and won more championships. That's my belief.
I like that theory a lot. So,
and most people think I'm crazy, I'm gonna stick with it, with that one. So, Michael. But today is also the day that Beatles landed at JFK. The British invasion or Beatlemania invaded the United States.
Okay. Yeah.
They were on the Ed Sullivan Show later, and it was on this date 7 years ago. The Oxford Dictionary added a new word, recognizing the word "hangry" as a real word, and we know what "hangry" means today, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I experienced that.
Did you?
Yeah, my husband's like, just because you're hangry doesn't mean you can be mean. I'm like, well, then feed me.
Feed me, yeah. I think that if those into the arts know that play with the man-eating
plant. Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
Feed me, Seymour.
What's the name of the stupid play? I can't think of it right now.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No. That's a different one.
Oh, I don't remember the name. I thought it was that one.
Somebody out there is going, you're an idiot. Don't you know the name? I can't remember.
Feed
I'm
me.
Sorry.
I'll find it. Don't you worry.
Okay. She'll find it. Yesterday was one of my favorite people to ever walk the planet. It was his birthday. He's passed away, but those who listen to the morning show know that it was Ronald Reagan's birthday yesterday. Mm. He was born on February 6th. I'm going to look it up again. I think February 6th, 2000, or 1911. So he would have been 114 years old
goodness.
If he was alive. Of course, he had Alzheimer's and did pass away in the 90s, but Ronald Reagan was amazing at. So I wrote a story on 890kdxu.com about Ronald Reagan. And as I've said on the show before, I got a chance to tour the Reagan Library a couple of years ago. And just an amazing man. But one of the things that they called him the great communicator. And it wasn't because he could read a teleprompter. It was because he so often went off script and just talked to people, you know. And when he spoke at a podium, and there's thousands of people watching, he somehow had the amazing talent of making you feel like he was talking directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible talent. And I managed to find some video of him when he spoke in Utah in 1982 at the Republican Convention. And if you'll look at my story on 890kdxu.com, I have some quotes from that. In fact, I'm going to read it. The quote from when he was at the Republican convention, it wasn't national convention, it was the Utah State Republican Convention. Here's what he said. He said, I love to be out west, and it's especially good to be able to stop the plane and recharge my batteries in Utah, a state that's just as famous for its good old-fashioned clean living as it is for its clean air. Here, you understand the importance of honest work, family life, and dedication to those family values that made the Utah desert bloom.
Mm.
And he said, and I'm going to have to paraphrase the rest of it, but it was something to the effect of, and you love God, and that is important. That's what's going to save the United States of America.
Mm. So, that's sweet.
Yeah, I love it. I have, also one of the things I really loved about Reagan. He wasn't afraid to poke fun at himself.
Yes.
Listen to this.
Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens. Today marks my first State of the Union address to you, a constitutional duty as old as our republic itself. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that.
And famously, he had that campaign speech. It was actually during the debate when they were talking about, he was debating, I forget who the opponent now was, but he said, we're not going to let age, because they were saying he was too old to run. This was the second time he ran. He said, we're not going to let age be a factor. He said, the fact that my opponent is young and inexperienced, I won't let that be a factor. Yeah, so pretty good stuff. He's a funny guy. If you want to read or listen to some of Reagan's kind of off-the-cuff remarks, jokes, and things that he told, just to go to YouTube and search President Reagan's humor. And there's, like, I think 3 different videos of jokes of that he told in different gatherings. And like I said, people know I am a big Ron Reagan fan. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Exactly. So. Yeah, he was a great president. Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I had horror in there somewhere. Rocky Horror, Little Shop of Horrors. I was so
little
close.
Little Shop of Horrors. And that one dude was in the movie, Little Shop of Horrors. The little Canadian dude. What is his name?
I can see his face.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
guy.
Yes,
that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And are you looking that one up too?
Yeah, it's Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, that's the guy. SCTV. I think he was. Wasn't Rick Moranis also one of the the McKenzie brothers, Bob and Doug McKenzie, take off to the Great White North guys? Yeah, I think he was one of those guys too. So, yeah, good times, good times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, funny show.
More on Ron Reagan. A couple of my favorite Ronald Reagan quotes. Let's go with, this one is pretty serious. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children through their bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-fought lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that quote. Another one, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, quote, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Yeah. And he followed that one up with, government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives. Amen, Ron. And then, let me wrap up the segment with this quote. If I can find, there it is. He once said, to sit back hoping that someday, some way, someone will make things right is to go on feeding the crocodile, hoping he will eat you last.
Mm.
He may eat you last, but he will still, in fact, eat you.
It's true. So, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Ron Reagan, again, his birthday. I'm actually looking at this now, and I'm pretty sure the Wire said yesterday it was February 6th, but on the story, I have February 7th is his birthday, so we need to look. Mello is on it. She's like looking it up right now. What date?
Well, I have to be able to spell Reagan. Hold on.
Yeah. I think it was the 6th.
February 6th, 1911.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
that's
February
correct.
February 6th. So. Okay. Let's do something. I did get a text from one of our great listeners, and the text said, random question for you and Mello. Have either of you tried Blackberry Dr. Pepper? Yum. Now, everybody knows I'm a Dr. Pepper fan, and we found out you are as well.
I am.
I was at the store the other day, and I saw the Blackberry Dr. Pepper, and I'm like, well, I want to try that, but I'm like, I'm not paying $12 for a 6-pack or a 12-pack or something. And then I looked closer, and it was on sale, $5.
Oh,
so I bought a 12-pack, and I was telling you before we came on, I said, you know, it's funny. The first sip of Blackberry Dr. Pepper, I was like, second sip, I was like, it's pretty good. Third sip, I was like, This is so good.
Really?
It took three sips, but by the third sip, I'm like, I think I have a new favorite Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
I'm going to give it a shot. I have not tried that yet.
Yeah, I have some at home. I don't have any here at work, but if you want to swing by the house, I'll give you a can. Or now, I should preface it with saying I don't go to Swig very often anymore. I used to be an everyday guy. I'm cutting back. I'm
he
trying
does
to
have
do
a mug
better.
That says Swig.
I do have a Swig. However, it's quite old. This was I got this breast cancer awareness in October. So this is, you know, what is that, 4 months old?
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, they have something where you can actually add blackberry, you know, the flavor shot in
it.
I
didn't
so
know
I've
that.
Had blackberry Dr. Pepper before, not in the can, but I've had it in it before. So to me, it was not a big departure from what I tried before. But yeah, it's good. Two thumbs up for me for blackberry Dr. Pepper.
And I'll get back to you on that.
I don't, you know, you and Celeste Malloy tried to get me to like peanuts in my Dr. Pepper. I'm not there yet. I didn't.
It's really good. I really recommend the peanuts in the Dr. Pepper. It's good.
Yeah. Celeste used to say it's like a Snickers bar. Pepper Snickers bar.
And then you get a snack at the end with saturated peanuts.
Yeah. Boiled, soaked something peanuts. Yeah. All right, 9:30. Right now, we want to do this. We want to give away a $25 gift card to Los Tapatios. Mello tells me she's going there today for lunch.
Yes, I will be there.
So it's Los Tapatios Mexican restaurant. I have in my hand right now a $25 gift card. Mello is going to take call 673-5890. So 435-673-5890. And which caller would you like to take, Mello, for?
Let's do caller number three.
Caller number three, a $25 gift card to Los Tapatios Family Mexican Restaurant. I ate there last week. It was delicious. And now's your chance, 673-5890. And while she's answering your calls, I will do a check on weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Story of a realtor who was out driving on a back road on his way to look at some property and suddenly noticed down beside him was a chicken keeping pace with him, and he was doing 60 miles an hour. And suddenly the chicken spurted out ahead of him, and it looked to him as if the chicken had three legs. And then it turned and went down a sign road and into a barnyard, and the driver turned down that lane, drove into the barnyard. There was a farmer there, and he asked him, he said, "Did you see a chicken go by here?" And the farmer said, "Yep." He says, "Did it have three legs?" And the farmer says, "Yep. I raise them that way. I breed them." He says, "You do?" He said, how come?" "Well," he said, "I just love the drumstick, and Ma always liked the drumstick, and now Junior's come along, and he likes it, and we just got tired of fighting over it, so I've been breeding three-legged chickens." And the driver said, "Well, how do they taste?" He says, "I don't know. I haven't been able to catch one yet."
I love Ronald Reagan, man. He's awesome. And that was such a non-political joke, too. He wasn't jabbing anybody. He wasn't making fun of the Soviet Union or Democrats. He just, that was a good old-fashioned joke. So, anyway, happy honoring Ronald Reagan's birthday yesterday, 114 years ago. So, yeah. All right, we did have a winner, Barbara R., right?
Mm-hmm.
Was our Los Tapatios winner today. We're giving, every Friday, we're giving out some Los Tapatios to folks. And credit where credit is due, Mello went out and said, "Hey, you want to be a part of the show? You want to?" And Los Tapatios said, "All right, yeah, here's some gift cards. Give them out."
Yeah.
So, very cool. And apparently, you are a frequent flyer there.
I do. I know the wait staff there. I know the owner there.
They know your name.
I don't even have to get a menu. They bring me out what I wanted, and then they make me my special drink.
The crema chicken chimmy.
It's a chicken chimmy with the crema sauce and side of chipotle sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then my Dr. Pepper with the pina colada mix.
Pina colada mix in it, which I had, which is very good.
It is good.
I will say this. I liked my dad got a, I can't remember what his was exactly, but it was meaty.
It was a burrito.
It had ground beef in it. And yours was good. I think his was better, personally.
Oh, you like the burrito better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But, yeah, thanks for the recommendation. Great mm-hmm. stuff down there. In Los Tapatios is right there on South Bluff. Maybe,
yes, right by the summit.
Wait, 700 South? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Just past 700 South, yeah.
So, Anyway, thanks for tuning in today to the Andy Griffin Show. Again, we're honoring Ron Reagan and, you know, a man who, you know, I don't know if you've seen the Reagan movie. Did you ever get to see that, by the way, the
no,
Reagan movie?
I want to.
Oh, it is good. Oh, it is good. Yeah, I had, in fact, Robert, who's the sales manager mm-hmm. here, he was in my studio the other day, and I said, hey, did you ever get to see that? And he's like, yeah. He said, they did a really good job on it. And Jimmy Kesson, we were talking with Jimmy Kesson about it, the casting. So you wouldn't think, and I can't remember the name of the guy that stars in it, but he doesn't, to me, as the actor, I'm like, he doesn't really look like Reagan. But he did, first of all, they like they do, the Hollywood magic, they made him look similar to Reagan. But he managed to master the mannerisms and speech of Reagan to a T.
Yeah, it was Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, yeah, Dennis Quaid. And he did, not to be confused with Randy Quaid, who went up into the belly of the spaceship in Independence Day and saved the day for everybody. But anyway, Dennis Quaid did a fantastic job. And in watching the movie, and I think I knew this, but I got to know it better. Like, Ron Reagan was, as a young guy, he was like the rest of us in that he was trying to figure out where he fit in. He was an athlete, and then he parlayed that. He knew he wasn't good enough to be like a pro athlete. He parlayed that into a radio career like I did, where he's broadcasting games. And then he parlayed that into an acting career, which, you know, he was in a lot of great movies, mm-hmm. including Win One for the Gipper. I forget the name of the movie. But anyway, he only became passionate about the particular kinds of politics later in life. You know, I wouldn't say he wasn't passionate about America, because he always was passionate about America and how great it is, but he didn't really internalize it and then vocalize it for us till later in life. But boy, his passion for our country, and the way he stood up to Gorbachev and Brezhnev and all those guys, when there was so much on the line, you know, the Cold War. Mm-hmm. There was literally the survival of our planet was on the line.
Right.
And Ron never backed down. I mean, this is a guy who was an actor and a sports broadcaster, and he did not back down from these guys.
No, we need that strength in the presidency. I appreciate it.
One of the things Ron Reagan always used to say was peace through strength in the United States.
Hmm.
He wasn't trying to bully other countries and say, you know, we're going to tell you what to do. He was trying to tell other countries, we're always going to be America. We're always going to be free, and we're going to stay free by being strong enough to, you know, go up against and fight whatever it is you guys are trying to, you know, communism or whatever you're trying to push our way. So
exactly.
Anyway, yeah, great man, Ronald Reagan. I might play, maybe next break, when I come back from next break, I'll have another joke queued up from Ron. Good stuff. Okay, so another story I have on 890kxu.com, it's about mail-in voting. Now, if you look at the political landscape in the United States of America, basically, Democrats and liberals are saying mail-in voting good, let's keep it. Republicans and conservatives are saying mail-in voting bad, we need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much partisan lines along that. You know, if you're Democrat, you feel this way. If you're Republican, you feel that way. Until you get to the state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And in the state of Utah, a red Republican state, I mean, in Utah, we haven't had a Democrat governor in 40 years. We haven't had a Democrat majority in over 60 years in the state of Utah. Generally speaking, Republicans win by a 3-to-1 ratio in most of our Senate and congressional races. In fact, the good races usually in Utah are the primaries between two Republicans, because once they get to the general election and it's Republican versus Democrat, the Republican almost always wins.
Okay.
And so Utah is really, really red, like maybe the reddest state in the country. But Utah loves mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie. I'm red. I'm very conservative guy. I am very Republican. I'm very anti-liberalism and wokeism and anti-abortion. And yet I love mail-in voting. And I don't, And I know we've had some people come on, you know, that Wendy lady used to call and talk about it and say, this is, you know, it's not working. It's broken. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way. I feel like somebody, I remember reading this, Mello, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Somebody said, put a $100 bill in an envelope and mail it to yourself. Would you do that?
No.
And most people say no. And then they say, well, it's okay. If you wouldn't do that with a simple $100 bill, why then would you trust the U.S. Postal Service to deliver your ballot?
Well, because I go to the ballot box and I drop it directly in.
That's true. You don't use the USPS.
No, I do not. Yeah.
Well, that definitely is a game changer. Right.
But I also think Utahns do not like to wait in line.
True.
So I think that we would much rather...
Unless it's In-N-Out Burger.
Right. In-N-Out, we will sit and maybe swig if it's a free Friday and you get a drink there or something.
I got free pretzel bites yesterday for the swig. And yes, I went by because I wanted my free pretzel bites. And I drove them right over to my wife's work because she loves pretzels.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
But you think it's as simple as that? We don't want to wait in line?
I have voted in person.
It is a
very long line, and you are waiting, and then it's like I like it at home personally because I like to do the research while
I'm
voting.
That's what I was going to say. I think one of the great things about mail-in voting is you can sit there at your home and get on your computer or your phone or your mm-hmm. iPad, and you can read about each candidate, and you can make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. I remember last time I voted in person, probably would have been, 8, 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting in line and I was talking with people mm-hmm. On either side of of me while I'm waiting in line, and I hey, who are you going to vote for? And they're like, this was Trump the first time, Trump, and then I'm like, yeah, but what about the congressional race? Well, who's running? They would say
exactly. That's what I was like before.
Yeah, who's running? Or I don't know. This guy has a nice name. He sounds like a good guy.
I know, it's true.
Seriously.
That's true.
Seriously. It's like my wife picking the NCAA tournament bracket. Mm-hmm. What's her colors and mascot? Because she doesn't know anything about
exactly.
the teams.
I don't know. Yeah, it's been very helpful because I would just take my ballot and then I would Google each person, check their websites,
awesome.
And read them. And
that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, right?
I know, but I do understand that it can be subverted, right? And then people can do illegal things and have people that are not alive and vote for different things. And
right,
so it can be bad.
So there's a couple of things, problems with mail-in voting that people have brought up. You're not required to show an ID if you mail-in vote, mm-hmm. right? Now, I think, personally, I believe that the system they use, the computer software they use that verifies signatures, I think that works.
I think it does, too.
So they take the signature on your driver's license, which you should have on your person. Unless it was stolen or whatever, you should have it. And for me, I remember when it was a few years ago, so 5 or 6 years ago, I voted and my signature didn't match my driver's license. They called me. I got a phone call from the court, the county clerk that said, hey, we got a problem with your ballot. I'm like, okay, what's the problem? They said, well, your signature doesn't match the one on your driver's license.
Oh.
I said, oh, well, that's a problem. What do I need to do? And she said, I just need to verify that these are your actual votes. And then she went through the ballot and said, did you, I don't remember. I think I asked her to go through the ballot.
Okay.
I said, let's verify by phone. Cause she wouldn't have done it without, my permission. But she, I said, can you just read me the votes? And she read me and it was my ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were able to submit it and everything was on the up and up. And I really felt good about it.
Yeah. So that's kind of validation, right?
I feel like the system worked.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but not that every state would do that.
Right.
So that's the other side of that coin. So
yeah. Somebody texted me when I talked about this at the top of the hour. Maybe 8 o'clock. And here's the text. Good morning, Andy. I personally like mail-in voting. It works well with my schedule. It makes it very easy for me to vote. And then with that, I enable notifications, which I really like too, by the way. That's me commenting. So that I know that it has reached the ballot counting center and has been counted. You know, you can do that, right? With your ballot, you can actually track it all the way. just like you can your package from Amazon. Okay, to continue his text, I know it works well for people that are not able to leave their homes and even for those that normally wouldn't vote. Mm-hmm. There's no denying this. Numbers are. I mean, we're getting about 20% more people are voting because they can do it from home.
Right. It's hard to get off on a Tuesday afternoon when you're working a 9-to-5.
And especially because you're going to be there a while. There's a line. Okay. To continue the text, I think we are getting more voter turnout, but there's always that concern of ID verification of the voter, which has concerned me in the past. At some point, we need to trust the system. But with that said, we need a system that we can trust. Food for thought. Just got another text here. Not as long, as shorter. Most people don't research the candidates to your extent. However, Utahns are family oriented. Sports, piano practice, and many other activities, to say nothing of church callings alike, have us with plenty on our plate. Mail-in gives a multiple day flexibility to make it happen.
Exactly. I agree.
I know, like I said, there are groups out there that are very concerned with the number one, you're letting your ballot go, and number two, you're not showing ID and stuff. But if those are real concerns, you can. They never said you can't vote in person. Number one,
you still can.
And number two, you can do what you do, which is take the ballot and actually drop it in the box that is under video surveillance. Mm-hmm. You don't have to mail it. Mm-mm. You can drop it. And actually, when I say mail and ballot, we did the same thing as you. We dropped the ballots off. We didn't put them in the mail. Mm-mm. So, I think I understand why you and me and a lot of Utahns, like 80% of Utahns, think that mail-in voting is
right. But I do miss not getting the sticker, because I do like that little like gold star, like, hey, I voted. Do you see the sticker right here on my shirt?
Yeah. It's like I gave blood, right?
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah. So the problem now, though, is there are two bills being introduced in the Utah legislature, and both of them are kind of aimed at making sure it's harder to do mail-in voting. So the question I have is this: if the constituency, that's us, all the people that vote, doesn't want it to stop, and these guys are coming in saying, well, the rest of the country does, so Utah should too, isn't that not listening to your voters? Isn't that counter to why you're even a public servant? If you're not listening, I don't want you to listen to Joe in Georgia or Sam over there in Oregon. I want you to listen to me, Andy, in Utah, because you are a Utah legislator.
Right, but if it's across the whole United States, isn't that how Utah got its statehood? Because they had to bend to what the other states were doing and not have polygamy? I know that's a stretch.
It's a little different.
It's a little different, but if we're trying to like make voting laws the same across the country, then if Utah is the only standout, then we would have to conform, I think.
Well, yeah, Utah is the only Republican state standout. It's not the only standout, but
right.
I don't know. It hasn't passed. It just passed committee, so it still has to go to the floor of the House and then to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So and then has to be signed by the governor. So it's not like it's imminent and it's happening. It's just a possibility. Gotcha. I just, like I said, my argument is maybe you should listen to us, and we don't want it to go away.
Right. I do love the convenience, and I don't like to stand in those lines, and it's very challenging to get like 2.5-3 hours in the middle of the day set aside to do that.
Yeah. Sean Hannity, I think, made a point that maybe we just make voting day a national holiday, so you don't have to take a few hours off of work. And still have in-person voting, but make it so none of us are missing work.
I would like that.
That's really cool. The only thing is, there are a lot of jobs out there. You can do that. If you're pouring concrete or if you've got a morning show on the radio, they're probably still going to have to work.
Probably, so. Yeah.
We have that. I think there's something like 11 national holidays now, and we still only get 5 here.
Really?
So, yeah. We'll take a quick break. Be back with more in the Andy Griffin Show after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Now, first, I need a setting, but Rick, you're from Kansas, right?
You bet.
Okay, this takes place in Kansas. It was an old Kansas farmer there, he had a piece of creek bottom land that had never been developed at all. It was all rocks and brush and all messed up, and he started in on it, clearing it, the underbrush, and hauling away the rocks, and then cultivating the soil there, and he planted a garden, everything from vegetables on to corn, and it really became a garden spot, and he was pretty proud of what he'd done. So one Sunday morning in church after the service, he asked the preacher if he wouldn't stop by to have a look. Well, the preacher arrived, and he took one look, and he said, "Oh, this is wonderful." He said, "These are the biggest tomatoes I've ever seen. Praise the Lord." He said, "Those green beans, that squash, those melons." He said, "The Lord really has blessed this place. And look at the height of that corn." He said, "The God has really been good." And the old boy was listening to all this, and he was getting more and more fidgety. And finally, he blurted out, "Reverend, I wish you could have seen it when the Lord was doing it by himself."
Oh, the great Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Such a great man. And he was born 114 years ago. So I just love the dude. I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
So, we are about out of time. I got a text here that said, "How do you feel about the ballot going all the way to Las Vegas? Why couldn't it be delivered directly to our county clerk? Thanks. Have a great weekend." That's a good point. We were talking about mail-in ballots. There were some issues with some ballots that people, and we don't know exactly when they mailed them, but people say they mailed them before the deadline. They went all the way to Vegas and back, and by the time they, and the rule is you have to be postmarked by a certain date.
Yeah.
Because they went to Vegas, they were postmarked late. They were postmarked a day late, and they did not count. And some say it might have changed the Colby Jenkins, Celeste Malloy race because that was so close. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that as far as if it would have changed it or if those votes would have been enough to swing it. But I will say this, and don't get offended, but I will say this. Why did you wait so long to mail your ballot in? Why did, if it was the last day, and I know there's deadlines and you're why I made the deadline. Why didn't you just drop it off? If you made the effort to go to the post office, why didn't you just make the effort to go to the drop box?
Mm-hmm. Library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't one drop box in the whole county. There were many of them. Basically any public library and the county building. And, mm-hmm. I mean, there were places all over. So.
Yeah, but you should be able to drop it off by the postmark date and be good. That is frustrating that it went to Vegas and back,
I agree.
For sure.
And you know what? It's funny. We talked about mail-in ballots and how convenient it is and everything, but you and I actually are not qualified to comment on that because we didn't mail them.
That's
dropped
true.
Them off.
Yeah. So our opinion doesn't count on that. I'm sorry.
It's the same kind of theory, but it's a little bit different because mm-hmm. we did not mail them. So mm-hmm. You're right. Our opinion doesn't count, but we had the microphone. Rory O'Neill said yesterday, he said, any idiot could talk on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, thank you, Rory. It's kind of true. But
we got these idiots right here.
Yeah. We're out of time, Melo. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
Any big plans for the weekend? We got like 20 seconds.
I've got the day off, so I'm not sure, but it's going to be amazing.
And you're showing a really cool house, over $1 million house.
Yeah, I showed it the other day, so hopefully they give us an offer.
I hope you sell it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Everybody, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Melo, thanks for being here
and
hanging out with me. You're great support. I appreciate it.
Okay.
And happy birthday to the great communicator himself. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.